Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, you're listening to The Late Show.
Hey, it's Stephen Colbert.
please, take it away.
No. I jumped the gun.
Oh, please. All right, I'm Becca.
And I'm Stephen.
We work together.
Yep.
I'm a producer here at The Late Show.
I'm the host.
He's the host.
I'm also a producer, but I'm really the host.
You're a writer, producer. You have a lot of hats.
Men for all seasons.
Yeah. So we're doing another audience questions here tonight.
I'm really a dancer, though.
Ooh,
in my heart. I'm a hoofer.
You are. Yeah, and you did the tap dancing lessons. I haven't asked you about an update for those. Over the strike, you famously announced over the strike.
I took six tap dancing lessons.
That's a full session.
Yeah. I could do a titter-tat-titter-tat-titter-tat. I could do that, yeah.
You never did it on the show, did you?
No, because I'm sure it's all gone already. I mean, it's difficult.
It does seem hard.
Difficult. Lemon difficult.
Yeah.
It is so much respect for tap dancers.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead. I really respect that. I gotta get more hobbies. You know, it's good. It's good.
Do you have any hobbies? Do you have anything you do other than this? Because there's not a lot of time to do other things when you do a show like this.
Okay, this isn't a hobby, but I'm currently working on a project. I live on a street in Brooklyn in East Williamsburg that's pretty busy. There's a lot of businesses and restaurants. I'm working on a project where I'm going to eat at every single restaurant on my block, which is like about a mile and a half long. And there's a lot. There's like 67 restaurants.
Have you timed out how long this is going to take you?
I'm trying to finish before spring because I want to have a big party when I finish and have a potluck where people bring stuff from all the restaurants.
Wait, before spring,
it is like
March 11th or 12th right now.
It's
9 days away from spring. Is there a winner so far?
Yeah, there's a great pupusa place on my block.
What's a pupusa?
A pupusa is an El Salvadorian dish. It's like a cornmeal pancake that has meat stuffed inside of it, like meat and cheese stuffed inside of it.
Mm.
And then that's fried, sort of like a El Salvadorian, like grilled cheese or quesadilla.
Ooh.
But it's like a fluffy pancake. It's so good. And then it's fried.
And it's delicious.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
And there's one with pork and beans in it. There's a really good one called Los Rocos, which is like a zucchini flour and cheese. It's really good. We should have pupusa day sometime.
You ever eaten a fresco tortilla?
No, what's that?
Fresco tortilla. They used to be all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
They're a fresh tortilla restaurant. They basically, they would serve it with chicken or steak. Those are your options.
Mm.
And they have a big, you know, flat top griddle where they got the chicken and the steak always sizzling up with peppers and onions and stuff like that. And then they have another big flat top griddle that has a slide that goes down to it. And at the top of it, there's a little hydraulic press. And they throw a ball of the tortilla dough up there. The press goes, shee, on top of it. And when it flips up, it goes down the slide. When the press flips up, it goes down the slide onto the dry hot griddle. And it toasts your tortilla right there. So it's a fresco tortilla. It's a fresh tortilla. And then they go, basically chicken or steak. And you throw that on there. Peppers, yeah. Peppers, onions, great. And then that's it. And it was cheap, fresh. You saw them making it. It was extraordinarily affordable when I was a young person in New York. And now they're gone.
Mm.
I don't see them anywhere.
Yeah.
What a loss.
Yeah, what a loss. The cheap food in this town is, yeah, we're losing it.
Yeah.
The dollar slice. Not so many dollar slices anymore. $1.50 slice. But anyways, it's not a hobby, but it's...
You go to Saco's on 9th Avenue?
No, but I know that that's the place.
9th and 53rd.
Okay,
I'll check
it out.
Best slice, yeah.
And you talk about pizza sometimes in your audience questions. A lot of people come to that come to you with that. They say, "What?
Where's the best slice?
Where do I get pizza?"
And
yeah,
I say, "I generally don't get a slice. I generally get a whole pie from Lazarus. Is it Lazarus?
Yeah.
Lazarus. Yeah.
I haven't checked that out yet, but I gotta try.
Cracker crust, very thin, square.
Yeah.
You know, unbelievable.
Yum.
And when I ordered, I ordered the whole thing, and again, my assistant Amy Cole, the wonderful Amy Cole, she knows if it's been a particularly rough run. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we won't do it at the end of the week, but like end of a 6-week run or something like that. That Friday, she goes, "I got you Lazarus." And she knows the rules, which is deliver the pizza to me. I close the door and I eat the whole thing and I don't want to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And don't ask me for a slice because I'm going to say, "You cannot have a slice."
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just eat the whole thing.
That's fair. That's fair.
And then I just slip into a coma.
Delicious.
Absolutely. It's a consummation devoutly to be wished.
Yeah, yeah. Great. All right. So this is audience questions. I love
this. Oh, that's what this was.
That's what this
sorry.
Podcast
oh, okay.
is. No, but this
oh,
is
I
great.
Didn't know
we're
that's
getting
where we're going.
Yeah, we're going to an audience questions.
Yeah.
One of the questions I love from this one is someone from the audience asked, "What's your favorite museum you've been to?" And I think that really speaks to, you know, you get a lot of questions about the show, the production.
Did I answer like something pretentious like the Louvre?
No, but it was a beautiful story about how you read James Joyce in the Louvre when you were 22.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not pretentious. I think it's beautiful.
My son is on a musical tour right now with his college, his music band.
Oh,
his,
cool.
like his music singing group in college, and he's in Dublin. He's going to be in Dublin for 4 days by himself at the end of it. And I said, just get yourself a copy of Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce and go sit on a bench in Dublin and go to Trinity College, you know, where Joyce went. Just sit there and read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. And it might take you 4 days to do it. It might take you an afternoon to do it. But that's what I think you should do with those 4 days that you have free to yourself at the end of it.
Yeah.
I hope he takes me up on it.
Yeah.
Because when you're young – you don't have any means and you're poor and you don't know what you're going to do with your life, which is fine. And there's a lot of anxiety associated with that. But then what young people don't understand is that those moments of sort of unmoored hiatus in your life where you don't know where you're going, what you're doing, that's incredibly precious.
Mm-hmm.
Fill that with reading books.
Definitely.
Fill that with, you know, dancing with your friends. Like, don't worry so much that you don't know what you're doing or how you'll, you know, make your money, or just don't worry about that. That there'll be plenty of years for you to worry about that. Young person, revel in your youth.
Yeah. And spend a full day at a museum. Yeah.
Spend multiple days at the same. That's what I love doing. Going to the same museum and not trying to gobble the museum in a single bite.
Mm-hmm.
Spend days.
Yeah.
Spend like an hour looking at one painting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And I thought it was a beautiful question. You answered it really lovely, in a really lovely way. And it reminded me of when I first interviewed for my job, Tom Purcell, our executive producer, amazing writer, said to me something about we were talking about the vibe at the show, what the show means to him. And he said this beautiful thing where he was like, our audience is all people that you'd want to sit down and have dinner with. Like, thinking of, like, the audience, which is millions of people who watch the show every night. But he's like, we have to think about our audience. We think about our audience as people that we'd want to sit at a giant table, have a really nice dinner, and have a nice conversation with. And
I think that
comes across in a lot of your audience questions, where you're happy to sit before the show. It's been, you know, whatever happened that day, whatever, how long it took to make the show perfect and ready to tape, before you're about to tape it in front of, you know, millions of people who watch on TV. You just kind of sit with them and have a really nice little dinner party before you go on. And I think it's beautiful.
People rarely get to see any aspect of it. It's been one of my favorite things about the job. It's just it always has been, even the old show, too. You know, from day one, I went out there and just took questions. Because just for there, that show was really important because I needed them to know who I was as a person before they saw me as a character. So they could see me looking around the edge of the character's mask, if
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean.
Because mm-hmm.
he was a difficult fella.
Mm-hmm.
But now, then I just fell in love with it. And now I just really like being with the audience. But, I mean, the questions repeat a lot.
Yeah, they do. But every once in a while you get
You want to be in The Lord of the Rings? That kind of thing. Where would you want to live in The Lord of the Rings? A lot of that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite guest?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm always so excited for what the new questions, like questions I've never heard before.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you have a question and you think you can stump Stephen, get a ticket to the show. Raise your hand for audience questions. Come prepared with a nice.
Yes.
A nice new question for us.
If your hand is the first one that goes up, I will call on you first.
Oh, great.
That's it.
That's a good
My rule to myself is that the first person I saw is who I call on. And then I just try to spread it out.
Yeah.
Spread it out around the room.
Yeah, nice. All right, well, enjoy. This is Audience Questions on The Late Show Pod Show. We'll be back on Monday with all new episodes.
We'll see.
Are there any questions I can answer before we get going? I saw you first, ma'am, right there in the purple. Am I going to do anything special for my birthday? I am turning 60. a little cocktail party, something like that. Are you available? The thing is that my birthday is on a Monday this year, and so that's no fun. But I'm going to do the May 11th. We're going to have a little cocktail party, and that is my grandfather was old when my mother was born, and my mother was 43 when I was born. And so this May 11th will be my grandfather, Popsy, Andrew Edward Tuck. We called him Popsy. Be Popsy's 150th birthday. Wow. He was born, as my father used to say, 2 years before Custer bought it at Little Bighorn. He was a cavalry officer in the Spanish-American War. And I have his 1896 diploma in my office hanging on the wall. He was a commissioner of agriculture under Teddy Roosevelt in the state of New York. That was like, yeah, so we're going to really celebrate Popsy. It's going to be my 60th birthday, but I want everybody to celebrate my grandfather that day instead. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. If you were to go out with your dinner with your other late-night show host...
Which I have done.
Yeah. Who is the most likely to pick up the bill? Who's the one that will probably go to the bathroom when the bill comes out?
Kimmel might be the one most likely to pick up the bill. He's a very generous guy. The one most likely to go to the bathroom when the bill came would be John Oliver. not because he isn't like a nice, generous guy. He has a tiny bladder. Always going to the bathroom. Yes, right over there. Favorite museum. That I've ever visited. I mean, a lot of what I like about museums is sort of the situation of the day. Like, if it's kind of a misty, rainy day, a museum's a great thing to be in. When I was a young man, I mean, I'm gonna say the Louvre, but I'll just because there's a lot to do there. The Met here is extraordinary, especially the samurai sword collection. But I remember I was a young man. I didn't have a penny to my name. I won't say I was stuck in Europe, but I was trying not to come home. My first sort of professional job was working as a voce recitante in the Spoleto Festival dei Due Mondi, he said, being all fancy. And I wanted to stay. I had made hardly any money over there, so I was just living like an animal, like literally sleeping by the side of the road whenever I could just to be able to save money. And I went to the Louvre one day, and I had a book. I had Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce, and I started it. And I went into a room, and I would look at whatever the painting was across from me, you know, a Titian or Raphael or something like that. And I would sit there, and I would look at the painting until I wasn't absorbing any more of it. And then I would read a chapter of the book. And then I would go from room to room. And it took me 2 days to read the book doing it that way. And that's my favorite experience of a museum I've ever had. I read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by Joyce in the Louvre, and I highly recommend it, especially if you're 22 years old and you have no idea what you're going to do with your life. Anybody? Yes. My favorite opera?
Oh.
I like La Traviata. I saw that with Evie at the Met when we first started dating. We sat in the back so we could make out. I didn't.
Hey.
I like Figaro. I like Faust. I like The Medium by Menotti. I like The Consul by Menotti. Mall of the Night Visitors by Menotti. La Boheme is great. Carmen is fantastic. I don't know, a lot. Antony and Cleopatra by Samuel Barber. I was a spear carrier in Antony and Cleopatra, Samuel Barber. I'll tell you a quick story about being a spear carrier in this opera in Spoleto in Italy for the Festival dei Due Mondi. And so I was over there and they said, I was just over there kind of have fun, but I was doing a few pieces. I was a voce recitante with this orchestra, and when I first started off, I did a lot of work with opera people. Then my first jobs were all in opera. And so I was supposed to be a spear carrier coming in for the death of, it might be the character Ino Barbas. I'm not sure who dies. He kills himself. Well, a lot of people die in Antony and Cleopatra, but we're supposed to come in, or maybe Mark Antony is like been stabbed and he's dying or something like that. But I'm supposed to come in with, it was three of us, three spear carriers are supposed to come in on stage like this. And we see that he's wounded. And maybe Eno Barbas comes over. Rank me and register a master lever and a fugitive. It's fantastic. And he's singing to Anthony here. And we're supposed to kneel as Anthony, you know, as the curtain comes down. It's the end of the first act. Or the third act, who knows, it's an opera, it's the eighth act. So the curtain's coming down, we're supposed to come down every night. It comes down before we complete our kneel. But one night, the guy is slow on the rope. And so I've been given a set of armor that's too big for me. Specifically, it's too long. So if I complete my kneel, this is what happened. This happened one night. I got the spear in my hand, and I go to kneel, and we're all supposed to kneel, and I'm going as slowly as I can, but the curtain's not coming down, and the armor hits here, and it's a breastplate. It's a Roman armor, and it does this. And my head entirely disappears. Yes. I turtle. I just pull a turtle, and I totally disappear in my armor. And it got a laugh from the front row, and I loved it. So I got a lot. What's your favorite opera?
Hard to choose one, but Madame Figaro.
Fantastic. Brava. Anyone else? Yes.
Well, what's your favorite guest who ever come here?
Who's my first favorite guest who's ever come here? Oh, boy. I mean, we're so lucky that the people that we come through here. I always have a really good time with Josh Brolin when he's here. I always have a good time with Neil deGrasse Tyson because he's so passionate about, like, he's a great explainer, and I love the things that he cares about. It's, you know, it's fun to have a president. You know, it's fun to have people like that. That's always fun. I'm still hoping for the Pope. I bet Pope Francis would be a fun, I want to do a cooking segment with Pope Francis. Wow. I have read his book. He's got a memoir coming out, and I was sent an advance copy, and I read it, and he talks a lot about cooking.
Really?
But learned to cook from his mom and his dad growing up as a kid. And then when he was the head of the Jesuits, when he was the Father Superior of the Jesuits, he had about 200 Jesuits underneath him when he was in Buenos Aires, and he would cook for them on Sundays.
Aww.
And he's Italian. Like, his family, his home language at home was Italian, not Spanish. That's why he's fluent in both. And he makes Italian food. Like, his tortellini and broth is, like, evidently really great. Huh. And he raised, like, chickens and pigs and cows and everything that for slaughtering and, like, giving to the priest and everything. So I want to go to Rome and do a cooking segment with the Pope. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
And like, don't talk about Jesus once. Anybody else? Yes, sir, right over there.
I was in Iraq in 2009 when you came over.
Were you there? I mean, were you in the audience?
I was in the green zone.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for your support.
Oh, it was an honor to go over. An order from the President of the United States. What I was referring to is that the first night we were over there in Iraq at Camp Victory in the Al-Fah Palace, which was Saddam Hussein's palace, in one of his palaces in Baghdad, which was a terrible place. Like, it felt like the Overlook Hotel from The Shining, 100%. And, you know, where our stage was, like, where the desk was the landing zone for when he would push people off the balcony on the third floor of that place, or fourth floor, to try to kill people. Keep it light. I know it's a late night show, but that's actually where it was. And so what we had was General Odierno was my first guest, and President Obama interrupted the interview via satellite and ordered Odierno to shave my head. And that was fun. By the way, you thanked me for coming. Thank you for your service. Yes. Yeah. Hat. Yes.
Pardon. So,
13
years ago, you were at the rally to restore
fear
and
Sanity. No, I threw the rally to restore. I wasn't at it. Yes, go ahead, yes.
Okay. What was your favorite part of that?
The favorite part of it was just y'all. It was like we all knew each other. We knew what we were going to do. We hoped we'd done this, like, made it sort of an interesting and fun day for you guys. But, Tom, you were there. Like, you said it better than I. Like, we're so lucky to have y'all as an audience because y'all got the joke. And your signs and your spirit of it was so wonderful. So the best part about it, I really wish I could have just gone out there and mingled and hung out with you guys. But probably my favorite, hardest thing to do was Cat Stevens comes out and starts singing, starts singing, peace train sounding loud, riding on the peace train. And my part was to go out there and interrupt him and to stop him from singing peace train. Have you ever been screamed at by 250,000 people? I have. Because they went, no! So that was a tough, that was a tough moment. That was a tough moment. What was your favorite moment?
So I really liked how you brought the Chilean miners up.
Oh, yeah, that was me. I came up in the Chilean miners.
That was your grand entrance. That was wonderful.
Yes.
I remember specifically you said, well, the next award is for someone who shows bravery all the time, so here's a 7-year-old girl.
Right.
Yeah, so it was so much fun. I've never had so much fun.
Do you want to hear a fun story about that 7-year-old girl? Because, okay, so that 7-year-old girl was supposed to get a bravery award that's like some politicians were being cowards about something, but yeah, 7-year-old girl is brave, so we gave her this award. And there's 250,000 people out there. And this 7-year-old girl started getting really nervous.
Huh.
And so I went over to her and said, like, it's okay, you know, you can take your time. You don't even have to say any lines. You just stand out there, I'll give it to you, we can cut your line, you can just go, it's okay. She's like, I don't want to go. And my son, who at the time was 8, I said to him, hey, John, that girl over there, she doesn't want to go out. Are you ready to go out? And he goes, yeah, I'm good. I said, you just say this one line. I'm like, got it. I'll just say that line. Got it, Dad. And that girl saw me talking to my son. And she went, I'm ready. Y'all ready to do the show, everybody? Wow. That's fantastic. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.